How we thank God for Sister Linda Lee. Plays at the 8 o'clock service, working with our men today. For Mr. Michael Kendrick, who plays for the chancel choir, second and fourth Sundays. And for our organist, Mrs. LaFay Dern, who plays every Sunday. Have you ever thought about God's amazing grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like you and me. It was a captain of a ship who had been through a storm, an orphanage, who had been adopted by captain of a ship. And after a fierce storm, and after being called to the ministry, he sits down and he writes, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Once was blind, but now I see." Reflects on his experience in life. Said, "It was grace that brought me safe this far, and grace shall lead me on." Then he thought about the grace and the glory and the marvelousness of being in God's presence. And he writes, "When we have been there 10,000 years, we have no less days to sing his praises than when we first began." Lord, we thank you for this moment of preaching, for this opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk where others have stood proclaiming your amazing grace. Honor me now and us with your presence. Take me out of self and place me within your righteousness, that in preaching, persons may not see or hear me, but would hear the word of God proclaiming the good news of salvation. The good news of the love of God. The good news of God's grace and mercy, compassion and forgiveness. Thank you for your forgiveness. We feel it right now because of your existence in our lives and in this world. Bless us in the preaching of the gospel. This is your servant's prayer. In the name of Jesus. And the people of God who love God said amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise and give God some glory in this place, for he is worthy. Mm. in the writings of the book of Daniel. And Daniel is a marvelous book that helps us to look at God's deliverance and God's intervention in human history. Those of us who have been to Sunday school or around the church or around some senior persons who know the Lord know something about Daniel. We know something about the book. We know something about the three Hebrew boys that, along with Daniel, had been captured and taken to Babylon. And in the captivity of Babylon, these four young men stand out as persons of faith. Matter of fact, they leave a legacy of obedience to God and faith in God and in the possibilities that God has to deliver. It's amazing that Daniel, who writes this book, whose name means God is my judge. And can I help myself? God will judge us. He gives to us what William James calls the freedom of the will. We can will to do right or we can will to do wrong. We can will to live in righteousness or we can will to live in sin. But at the end of this life, there is a day of judgment. My old folks, the old church I used to serve in Crozet, Virginia, there was a deacon at the end of every service, whether he was on program or not, would get up and say, "Get right, church, and let's go home." Maybe we need to say that every Sunday. At Second Baptist, get right, church, and let's go home. For there's a day that is coming that is a day of judgment. So Daniel writes in this text and he uses the name of an archangel by the name of Micah. And he talks about him standing. Listen to these words and then we go into the meat of the message. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time the people shall be delivered. I want to connect something here. Trouble and deliverance. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about trouble and deliverance. All God's people know something about trouble. Everyone that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Wish I had time to talk about sleeping and waking. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor, "Neighbor, what kind of legacy will you leave?" I'm delighted and honored to be the pastor of Second Baptist. I'm honored because there are so many persons who have left a legacy of helps, a legacy of hope, a legacy of prayer, and a legacy of service. When I think about persons like Harry Burns, some of you remember Harry Burns, a freedom fighter, a picture in a museum shows Harry Burns walking by himself, carrying a sign that says, I'm a man, I want freedom. When I think about his legacy of marching by himself, you know, sometimes you got to do something by yourself. You don't always need a crowd. You can do some things, something good by yourself. When I think of Harry Burns, when I think of Bernard Harris, the first African American and medical doctor to walk in space, a legacy of courage, a legacy of through Christ Jesus, I can do all things. Member of Second Baptist, when I think of Willie Mitchell, first member of Second Baptist to play in the National Football League's Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl. And then when I think of Eric Brown, y'all remember Eric, don't you? Eric loved his church so much that when he received his signing bonus to play for the Denver Broncos, one of the first checks that he wrote was for $25,000 for the Second Baptist Church Scholarship Fund. When I think of him, I think of a young man who leaves to us a legacy of support for education. Not only do I think of him, but when I think of Dr. Frank Bryant, the first African American to be the president, chairman of the Bexar County Medical Society, one who gave his life serving people who could not pay, who lived on the east side. What will your legacy be? Will it be one of helps or one of hindrance? Ooh, I wish I had some help here. When I think of the Honorable G.J. Sutton, the first African American to be a state representative from San Antonio. When I think about Colin Powell, the first African American to be the chairman of the Military Joint Chiefs of Staff. The Honorable Ruth Jones McClendon, one of the longest serving persons to serve in the Texas State House of Representatives. When I think of people who yet walk among us, people like Banks Reed, whose picture is on a wall in our home state of Arizona, who sits among us even today as an educator, one who leaves a legacy of service to the people of God. When I think about, a man who had the audacity to hope, a man named Barack Obama, first African American president and serving in his second term. Why? Because they wanted to leave a legacy of helps and a legacy of hope. Daniel, the writer of our text, and I'm almost finished here. Give me about 10 more minutes. When you look at Daniel, whose name means God is my judge, he writes this text from personal experience. Nobody can tell your story like you can tell your story. And so he writes to us to tell us, if you want to leave a legacy that's positive, a legacy of hope, the first thing that you do is do not settle for less. He is brought to Babylon. They tried to change his name. They tried to change his diet. They tried to change his God. But Daniel would not settle for less. In my marital counseling, I say to young men and young women who come to me, I say to them, don't settle for less. Make sure that this is the one that God has ordained, preordained, and that God has and will give to you as a helpmate in the future. Too many of our people marry without first talking to God. And when you do not talk to God, you end up settling for less. But I hear the three Hebrew boys, the friends of Daniel, who says to the king, O king, we will not bow. We will not bow to your idol gods. Our God is omnipotent. Our God is omniscient. Our God is all powerful. Our God is all knowing. Our God is omnipresent. Our God transcends time. We got a God that is above every God. And we will not settle for less. We will not bow. We don't care whether you playing jazz or hip hop or rhythm and blues, we're not going to bow. When we hear the music, it's not the music of a God that is triumphant. It's not the music of a God that delivers. And oh king, we won't settle for less. We will not bow. And I like what they said. They not only said we will not bow, but they said our God is able to deliver us. I wish I had time to talk about the ableness of God. For he's able to provide for your every need. He's able to deliver us in times of trouble. All you have to do is steal away. Oh yeah. Steal away to Jesus. Knowing you ain't got time. You ain't got long to stay here. And I don't know about you, but every now and then I hear music in there. So my brothers and sisters, I just need to say to you, don't settle for less. Daniel says, I'm not settling for less. Go ahead and write your creeds. Go ahead and write your edicts. But let me tell you something. I know a God that I served in Jerusalem. And I'm going to lift my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. I'm not buying down. And not only that, I'm going to keep on praying. I wish I had somebody. When you're in trouble, you keep on praying. You don't stop praying because you're in shackles by adversity. You keep on praying. Can I help you? I know prayer. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer makes a difference. Somebody says prayer changes things. But prayer changes me. So that I can accept the changes that God makes in my life. Keep on praying. Every now and then you ought to be able to say, way down yonder by myself, I couldn't hear nobody pray, but I prayed. I prayed by myself. Sometimes you need a prayer partner, but there are times when you don't need a prayer partner. That's why the thief on the cross said, Lord, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Is there anybody here ever asked the Lord to remember you? When you're going through your grief, when you're going through your difficult days, you said, Lord, remember me. You said, Lord, remember me. And guess what? Don't know about you, but I thank God when he remembers me. Because when he remembers me, he becomes my alarm clock. He wakes me up in the morning. When he remembers me, he puts joy in my soul. Way down in my soul, there is joy because of the name of Jesus, who offers companionship and compassion. And so the Bible says to us, don't sell for less. Matter of fact, he wouldn't let the children of Israel sell for less. They said, look at here, Moses, why did you bring us out here? Why did you bring us out here to die? We don't have any food. We don't have anything to drink. Was not, the flesh pots of Egypt good enough for us? But I hear God saying, don't settle for less. Matter of fact, if you trust me, I'll be bread for you in a starving land. That's why the forefathers used to sing, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Is there anybody here that can feast on the bread that comes from heaven? The bread that comes from heaven is the love of God. The bread that comes from heaven is the mercy of God. The bread that comes from heaven is the walking with you of God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because God with me. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for less. Secondly, be in everything prayer. I didn't say pray in everything. I said you be a prayer in everything. Have you ever been driving down the highway and somebody pulled in front of you? No. You pulled in front of somebody and they gave you the international hello. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Have you ever been in traffic and cut across the traffic? And you heard the screaming of brakes. And you cried out, Lord, have mercy. And because he is a merciful God, there was not a collision. Because God put up the hand of protection and held the car back from you. And you scooted across in safety. It was not your driving skill. It was God's ability to provide safety for you. Is there anybody in this place that was in a car wreck? Car was lost. USAA said it's no good. It's a total loss. But you walked away from it. A loved one walked away from it. Why? Because God wants to leave with you a legacy that he cares. He cares for his own. Songwriter says God cares for you. And so we need to be persons who pray for ourselves. I used to ask folk to pray for me. I don't do that too often now. Because I've learned that you ask folk to pray for you and they pray for your position. You ask folk to pray for you. And they pray for what God has given you. I stopped on my way to heaven to tell you, learn to pray for yourself. So come, sometimes you need to counter the prayer that they pray. You praying, Lord, have mercy. I never shall forget. I went to be with one of our sick members, and I took a preacher who was visiting with me. He was visiting from the great state of New York. And you know, they do things differently in New York. And so I said to our member, I said, this is a preacher that's visiting with us. Do you mind if he pray for you? And the lady said, Reverend, let him pray. And I will forget. He said, now, Lord, she is sick. She is at the point of death. Why don't you do her and her family a favor and take her? The woman opened her eyes and said, no, Lord, don't hear what he's talking about. But give me a few more days. You got to be careful who you ask to pray for you. I like what Paul and Silas did in that Philippian jail. They didn't ask the jailer to pray for them because he had already imprisoned them. But what they did is they sung hymns and prayers were lifted unto God. When you are sincere in your prayer, God hears and honors your prayer. And the Bible said that there was a great earthquake. And the jailhouse rocked. I need to tell Everest Presley, you don't know nothing about jailhouse rock. Because when I pray, the shackles of sin fall. When I pray, envy walks away and hatred and misunderstanding take a back seat. They prayed and God opened up the gate. And when the jailer saw it, he said, what must I do to be saved? When you pray, you can save somebody else. Oh, I'm finished. But I need to tell you one more thing before I go to my seat. Daniel. Started a trend. Will your legacy be one of starting a trend? The Bible said that Daniel went to his window, looked out toward Jerusalem, and prayed three times a day. The king put out a decree, an edict that you won't pray to any other God, but you will pray to a lesser God. The Bible says that he kept on praying. And then the Bible says that his enemies saw him praying and they were aware that he prayed three times a day. And they go back to the king and said, oh, king, live forever. I need to say something to you who have accepted something less. It will die. It will not live forever. Oh, king, live forever. And the Bible says that they reported that Daniel was praying, that he had this trend of praying. And because the king had said, whoever prays will be placed in the lion's den. And I wished I had a dentist in the congregation to tell me this. How can you lock the lion's jaw? The Bible said that these lions had not eaten for many days. And would they put Daniel inside? And I need to say to you, Daniel, yeah, look like you and me. So when the lions saw it, they said, we got some well done meat here. Oh, y'all missed it. We got some well done meat here. And the Bible says that because Daniel had set a trend of praying and being obedient to God, that the lions did not eat him. I like the picture of Michelangelo, of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel is resting on a lion and has one arm on another. And one arm on another, he's comfortable in the lions. Can I help me? Whenever I'm going through the lion's den, I can be comfortable because I know that God is able to deliver. I can be comfortable because I've heard him say, "Lo, I'm with you. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Be of good courage." The Bible says that the king came down and Daniel decided he would have some fun with the king. The king said, Daniel, are you in there? And Daniel cried out, "Oh, king, live forever." The king thought he was talking about him, but he wasn't talking about that king. He was talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was talking about God Almighty. So he cries out, "Oh, king, live forever. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." I hear Daniel crying out, "Oh, king, live forever." King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Open the door." And when Daniel walked out, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm going to set a trend of praying. And when I'm in trouble, I'm going to talk with God. For just a little talk with Jesus makes everything all right. Do I have time to talk about Jesus? He's a Lamb of God. He's a Rose of Sharon. He's a Lily of the Valley. He's a bright and morning star. He's bread when I'm hungry. He's water when I'm thirsty. Is there anybody here that knows something about Jesus? He died on Calvary. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. But soon Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with a legacy of resurrection. He lives. He lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all trouble cease. Because he lives. Hey, hey, hey. If I never preach to you again, I need to tell you one thing. You need to leave a legacy of helps. If I can help somebody, you need to leave a legacy of hope. My hope is in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. I feel that old preacher coming up in me. Hey! Hallelujah! Hallelujah.
Might we stand as we extend an invitation to discipleship. God's word has been preached. Christ has left us a legacy of salvation. If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is your opportunity to come as we open the doors of the church and extend to you an invitation to discipleship. You can come as a candidate for baptism, on Christian experience, or by letter. We extend to you this invitation to come, give your life to Christ. Is there one man, woman, boy, or girl? Will you come give your life to Jesus? Amen. Amen. Is there another? Seated.
We're just going to be in a couple more minutes. My friend has come to Christ, amen, reminding me of myself. I guess I was about 6 years old when I joined the church. I kept asking, when can I join? When can I drink some of that wine? Eat some of that bread? I'm just going to be truthful here. They let me sing in the choir. They let me be an usher. But I had not been baptized. Because I hadn't been baptized, when they got to me with the tray, they passed over me. So one day I said, I'm not going to take this any longer. I called my mother outside, my grandmother over in the deaconess corner. And I went and ran up to Reverend J.J. Thompson. And I said, I want to identify with Jesus. He said, what that means, son? I said, I want to be baptized, and I want to eat some of that bread and drink some of that wine. He accepted me in those words. So, Marcus, I'm your friend. And I love you. And I thank God for you, for your courage to come this day with your grandmother, to join her and your mother, your uncle, in the membership of Second Baptist. I'm honored today that you would allow me to be your pastor and your friend. Hallelujah.